Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. My name's Steve Walk. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at church. And I wonder, what do you find hardest to believe about Christianity? There's lots of things that are unusual, but what is it that you find hardest to believe? Well, of course, it's Christmas, so perhaps when you think about it, the idea of a virgin birth seems a little bit far-fetched for you. You know, people don't get pregnant by themselves. So maybe Mary just lied, or people spread the story that she was a virgin afterwards. Or maybe you've heard a handful of Jesus' miracles, and you think there's got to be a better explanation than Jesus just kind of waving his hands and making things better. I don't know how he walked on water. Maybe there was something under the surface I couldn't see. I don't know how he fed thousands of people at a time, but there's got to be something going on there, right? Or perhaps you've got questions about Jesus' death and resurrection. I mean, we know a lot about Jesus' death. We know what he said to his friends the night before. We know where he went. We know that he was kidnapped off the streets late in the night. We know that he was beat up for the rest of the night and delivered over to the authorities, further beat up and hung on a cross. And we know that he died. He definitely died. But for me, the strange thing is that Christians say that he came back to life. So the resurrection for me for a very long time was very difficult because dead people don't come back alive. I mean, maybe now in the 21st century you can revive someone, you know, put the pack-a-whackers on them and bring them back. But this was 2,000 years ago. Dead people don't come back to life. And yet Christians readily believe these things. They teach us these things. But I think when we think about it, none of those are the hardest part to believe about Christianity. For me, more than miracles, more than a virgin conception, more than the resurrection, the trickiest part about Christianity is Christmas. Because at Christmas, we celebrate what theologians call the incarnation. We celebrate God becoming man. Now, God coming to earth as a human is the most ridiculous, audacious, most heretical idea perhaps in the history of the world, unless it's true. I'm going to pray and I'll show you why this is the case. Let's pray together. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Firstly, the baby was God. It's Christmas time. I think you know which baby we're talking about. But the Bible reading we had were the opening words of the Gospel according to John. And it does sound a bit strange to us, the language there. But the important thing is when he's talking about the Word, he's talking about a person. Right? The Word is a person. And though there's many things we could pull out of these first few verses, there's four things I want to show you about the Word. So firstly, the text starts by saying, in the beginning was the Word. Now John is echoing the Genesis narrative, the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning God created, and now he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was there at the beginning. Begs the question, I think, the beginning of what? This book? This story? No, it's the whole universe, all of creation. He was there when everything kicked off, and that makes him eternal. But to make it explicit, he continues and says, and the Word was God. The Word was God. He's not a God. He's not created. He's not a creature. He's deity. He's divine. The Word is God. But just to make sure that we grasp the point, John continues and says some of the things that the Word does. So we read, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made that has been made. So this character, this word, made the world. He made not just the world, but he made the whole universe, everything. He is, therefore, the creator of the world. The passage also says, in him was life. So not only is the word the creator of everything, but he's also the animator of life. All things that live and breathe depend on God. The source of life, all life, your life, is the Word. He's the sustainer. He's sustaining all things. And so this Word, John says, was there at the beginning. He's God. He made the world and he sustains the world. He keeps it going. So far, nothing strange. This is the sorts of things we understand about God. The real surprise is what happens next. The baby was God, made man. In verse 14 we read, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh, became a human being. God became incarnate. I just think about this. The eternal God who made the world and sustains it still stepped into the creation as part of the creation. When I was at theological college, I had a friend who played pretty high-level rugby. He was fast, and even though he wasn't playing anymore, he was very, very strong. His playing weight was about 90 to 95 kilos. He was a flanker. And during the off-season, he would usually go and do some cross-training in a different sport to kind of upskill and keep himself fit. And one year he decided to do jiu-jitsu in the off-season rather. And normally you go to a different sport, you learn some skills, and some of it comes back across. He thought, I spent a lot of time in rucks, it'd be good for me to be able to handle myself on the ground. But he said, instead of giving him new skills and more confidence, all it did was make him more fearful. I couldn't believe it. Like, you should have seen him. He was as tall as me, but he had, you know, nearly twice my weight, but a big, strong man. But he found out that he could have 25, maybe 30 kilos on other people, but they could completely dominate him on the ground. On the rugby field, he could size people up pretty well. Right? If people were bigger than him, they might hit harder, but he could usually outmaneuver them. And if they were smaller than him, well, he could hit harder. But when it came to jiu-jitsu, even against smaller opponents, in fact, especially against smaller opponents, he couldn't evade them, and his power counted for very, very little. And so he found himself walking down the street, looking at people, not knowing who could possibly take him out. Because he'd spent this time with much weaker people than himself who completely dominated him. He couldn't tell anymore who was more powerful than him. And there are people in our world who look like that. Who are like that. Some people, you look at them and you know you don't mess with them. But others may have been, I don't know, boxers for 15, 20, 25 years, and they don't look anything different. But if they ever got into a fight, well, it wouldn't last long. One of the dads at my son's swimming lesson, he worked in marketing, wore a suit and tie into the city every day, but he also had two different black belts. You could never tell by looking at him. I knew another man when I worked in a hardware store for a while, but at the age of 70 years old, he still got recalled back to his home country to train Apache attack helicopters because he was the only one with the knowledge of how to train them in combat flight. Some people are far more than they appear. There's more to them than you might have expected. And Jesus was God walking around. The one who sustains the world was walking around in it. Have you ever thought about that? Our passage says, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The one who made the world came and lived on it. People who saw Jesus looked at him and saw just another man. They didn't realize how much power he had, but that's just the point. God became a human. And that's amazing. Well, it's amazing for many reasons, but it's amazing for two main reasons. It's amazing because of who God is and who we are. Firstly, God is God. He's not just powerful and mighty, but he's holy. He's good. He's pure. In another part of the Bible, the Apostle John writes, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That's what God is like, worthy to receive all glory. Now, who are we? Well, I'm afraid it's not good news. Not only are we, well, to put it nicely, not much compared to God, but we live our lives either ignoring God or actively fighting against him. I think we know this. I think we all know this deep down. We know, don't we, that we don't live God's way. I don't think we even want to live God's way, even if we could. And so it's amazing that he came. I mean, why would he? Why would God come and be one of us? He's so far above us. And we, well, not only are we beneath him in stature, but our lives are lived in spite of him. I mean, was he curious? Was he bored? Well, thankfully, he tells us himself. He came to die. It's easy to forget at Christmas time there is so much to do, and it's so much more complicated this year than other years. Two of my brothers live in the Northern Beaches, and so our Christmas plans have changed very much, and we've got all kinds of different permutations depending on what happens over the next few days and weeks. And so if we think about Jesus at all, we're usually thinking about Jesus in a manger, right? A baby in a manger, all chubby and cute. But friends, we need to remember and remind one another of who that baby is and remember what he was born to do. Because that baby was God and he came to die. One of the things we learn at Christmas is that everything has a cost. Presents have a cost, especially if you're the one buying them. Our decisions about our time have a cost. Right? If we choose to be at church, we're choosing not to be somewhere else and vice versa. We can't do everything and be everywhere. But how we live our lives has a cost too. That's what the Bible says. And the consequence of not living the consequence of not living God's way is death. Just as your work earns you wages, living our own way earns us death. We deserve to die. We've rebelled against the one who gives us life. He has every right to withhold it from us. But the wonderful news is that Jesus died that death. If you would let him, he has paid the price. There's nothing left to pay. You owe no debt to God anymore. It might be hard to believe, but it's true. This year has been fascinating, to say it lightly, fascinating in many ways. It's exposed many things in our community and in our country. It's exposed how much we value toilet paper. Do you remember that? But one of the things that it's exposed is how the people in power have led us. There are powerful people in our country. Some of them have led well, some of them have led poorly. But none of them have done what Jesus did. None of them have given their lives in your place. I think it's worth saying that by and large, our state and federal leaders have done an extraordinary job this year. I mean, there are a handful of things that it's easy to criticize when you're not in the room making the decisions, when you're on the sidelines. We can criticize them, of course. But overall, we ought to be thankful for what a sterling job they did. They must have worked long, stressful hours and made very hard decisions. But despite how good a job they did at leading us overall, none of them have given their lives in your place. But Jesus did. If you were there 2,000 years ago, if you got to see Jesus walking around, he wouldn't have looked like much. But there's far more to him than you might have expected. He's like no one you ever met. So I think this year, this coming year, it's time to take a closer look. It's time to come back to church. It's time to find out a little bit more. I'd like you to keep thinking about this as you hear our next song, and later Albie will tell us what it might look like to do more. But for now, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, thank you that in this country we have the time and space to come together, to meet, to stop work, and to think about the incredible nature of what happened at Christmas time. Thank you that you came to earth and that you came to die in our place. Father, please help us to realize there is more to you than we realize, and that we need to come and listen to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.